Welcome to Coffee with Kim. I'm Kim Kelp, and every week you and I sit down with fascinating, smart, and talented leaders, CEOs, and founders so that we can copy their homework. If someone knows how to do something really well, I want to know what it is and exactly how they're doing it. Get ready for aha moments, gems of wisdom, and little known tips and tricks that we can steal and use in our own lives. If you want to join these conversations and ask these experts your own questions, no point in just me having all the fun. Join us on Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern live over on LinkedIn. Hey, friends. So good to see you. Happy Wednesday. I've missed you. I hope you're having a great start to the week. I'm so glad that Jeff and Aaron and Shelby are joining us. If you're new here, we're a super fun bunch. And so you're probably going to see that the chat is kind of the place to be. You can always listen to this later on your favorite podcast network while you're walking the dog or doing the dishes or folding the laundry. And that's fun too. And we love that. You can catch up. You can see what we've been talking about and what we're up to. But it's really kind of fun if you say hi in the chat and you come in live and you share those tips and tricks and the things that you've learned and the things that help you with all of us. Because, you know, sharing is caring. So why keep it all to yourself when you can share it with the rest of us, which we would really appreciate. And today's session, you know, I try to form these sessions every week, things that are going to help us, things that are going to make us better, things that are hopefully going to get our minds kind of cranking for the rest of the week. I feel like that's always going to be something that sticks with me and you. But I also want us to really kind of dig into the stuff that we might be having some trouble with. And so I know that Shelby and I are always sort of manning my inbox and combing through my emails and, you know, rifling through my DMs to see like, what kind of questions are people having or what kind of, you know, things are people like, oh, I'm in this situation and I don't know how to deal with it. And one thing that just kept, you know, kind of coming up over and over again was this idea of managing other humans, whether that was managing other humans in your work, you know, in your office setting, or that was managing other humans in your life, your household, your family. And so when it came to managing other humans, obviously we talk about a lot of work stuff here, but I thought that it could really come in handy because, you know, as crazy as it is, we are coming into the end of October, the holidays. Oh, I hate to say the holidays, but the holidays are right around the corner. And so managing humans, both at work and at home, might become harder in the coming weeks. So I was really excited that Ashley took some time out of her very busy schedule to come and join us for coffee. Hopefully you did your Google stalking of Ashley before you came here, but just in case you didn't, Ashley is just like an amazing leader and teacher. She's the CEO of Manager Method, which is just all about helping employees and employers work better together and help overwhelmed managers really come to the workplace refreshed and excited instead of feeling like overwhelmed and like, I don't know what I'm doing and I need help here. So just kind of coming back with a whole new attitude. And she has a ton of LinkedIn Learning courses out now. She had two that just came out within the last month. She also has a top secret one that's coming up soon, which maybe if we're very nice, she will let us in a little bit about. And she also has a book that's coming out in February, which again, if we are really nice with me and Andy and Joan and Amanda and Craig and Ben, we beg very nicely, or we put on our best like puppy dog eyes. Maybe Ashley will spill a little bit of her secrets on her upcoming course and her upcoming book. So without further ado, please raise whatever caffeinated glass you have with you and help me welcome Ashley to our coffee chat. Hey.
Hi.
Oh my gosh. Well, your cup size beats mine by far.
Well, I always like to say, what kind of day is it? Is it an extra large coffee mug day? I'm totally a sucker for a nice big coffee mug. So I'm not in Steamboat, Colorado, but I'm mentally there when I drink from this one.
You know, it's funny because Jen, who I'm not sure if she's here right now, we always joke that like I her and I end up with like three miscellaneous glasses of like unknown liquid substances by the end of the day. Like it starts with tea, then there's a juice, a water somehow comes into play, and you finish the day at 6 o'clock and you look at your desk and you're like, I'm a hoarder. I'm a hoarder of beverages. Like what's happening here?
Yes, I definitely. There's a reason that you're seeing this view of the screen and not all the different beverages on either side. But that's the behind the scenes already.
Oh my gosh. Well, I would just want to start by echoing Hiromi that we are so excited that you are joining us today. I feel like this is just going to be such a fun session. So thank you for making the time.
Well, of course, I love your Coffees with Kim. So it's always nice to be part of something that you enjoy. It's very surreal. And I love Hiromi. Hiromi's become a wonderful online friend. And I love her courses as well. So it's a pleasure to see you, Hiromi.
I love it. Okay. I'm really curious. So when we come to managing humans, as I kind of touched about in the beginning, I feel like one of the things that either happens is people are like, yes, oh my gosh, I'm managing too much, I'm burnt out. Or people are like, oh, I'm not a manager at all. I'm just the assistant, or I'm just, and then sort of feel like I don't need to hear that advice, or I don't need to like listen because it doesn't apply to me. But I'm sort of a believer that everybody's a manager in some way or form. So I'm curious, like you've worked with all teams of all different sizes, like what have you found is the most common?
I think definitely that idea. Everybody has the capacity to lead. It doesn't matter what your title is. And in 2025, when you can look on LinkedIn and people's titles are, you know, sometimes don't, you can look at someone's title and have no idea what their job is. But whether you're responsible for managing people, meaning like performance reviews, hiring, all of those things, whatever that is, whether you manage someone or you work with people, you have such an impact on the work that they do and also their life outside of work. Because I say to people sometimes, like from a manager standpoint, managers often have a lot of the power to create the culture. Like if I'm to think about a culture at different organizations, like sometimes there's common threads, but oftentimes when I think of culture of the places I've worked, it's based on the atmosphere that my manager created. And that can also create the container of how people work and how colleagues support each other. But I would say you are a very real character in the lives, not just of your coworkers, but of their family and friends. So like your name is going to be brought up for better or for worse. I mean, there are plenty of people who know my work besties, even though they've never worked together, or I have a boss that if something went wrong, they would say like, well, just ask them. They seem super reasonable. Or on the flip side, something goes wrong and they're the first ones to say, do you have to tell them? Like, can you just like hide it? Because they know how that looks. And just knowing whatever your role is, and as a leader, you're going to have an outsized impact, but you have opportunities. You know, one, you may not realize how a short word or getting frustrated with someone, how that can impact someone negatively. But on flip, you have such a positive impact on the people that you work with, and even long after you're actually working together.
Well, and I totally agree. And teams are like a dynamic thing. Like everybody's mood plays a part. Everybody's personality plays a part. And, you know, one of the things that you talk about a lot in your work and in your courses is really understanding like time and space. So are you hybrid? Are you in every single day because you work in a hospital or you work in, you know, a high stress situation? And so I'm curious, as people kind of navigate these different spaces, whether they're going in every single day, whether they're totally remote, whether they're kind of coming in one day a week. If you are a manager kind of in this ever-changing environment, what are some tips that you give to people kind of who might be navigating one or all of these situations?
A lot of it, I think, is having conversations. Like the biggest fault that I see in managers, and not an intentional fault, but how things can go wrong, is if you feel like as a manager, whether you've just been promoted or you've been leading for a long time, you are both a wizard and an octopus, that you're supposed to know everything. So you know everything about your team members. You have a sense of their workloads. So because everyone else thinks that you do. And so just knowing that's not possible, but you probably think that you're supposed to, and your team members probably think that you do. And likewise, as an octopus, that you have eight hands. So you say things to your team like, it's open door, come grab me whenever. And that's all fine and good until they all try to grab you at the same time. And then you're short with them and they're frustrated. Like, well, you didn't really mean that. And so just knowing the best thing that managers can do is to have very genuine conversations. That doesn't cost you something, you know, there's no other budget request. Having that conversation doesn't tend to take as much time as you think, and you can often save yourself times. But a lot of it is talking about the realities of your role and those things that change. So you know, my role is to support you, whether that's that we've been remote. Now, all of a sudden, we are going in the office 4 days a week. And what does that look like? And talking to your team members. Does that mean coming in and swiping and leaving? Does that mean what we're going to do when we're all here? And so a lot of it is being the conduit to be productive and not just see yourself as like this person that's supposed to be a figurehead and running the ship without actually getting a sense of what your team members are thinking about. Because that's one of the best things is to get the information from your team of what are they thinking, communicating that to others in leadership and other cross-functional leaders. Like that's some of the best things that you can do.
Well, and I think you're right. It comes back to communication kind of over and over again. That's like the core thing that it keeps getting back to. And one of the things that you just said was like, you know, supporting other people on your team or supporting other people in your workspace. And I like this question from John, because what if there's somebody joining that's like, okay, I'm a little intimidated by the thought of supporting someone, or I think I might be a good manager, but you know, am I ready for that next step? Like, should I kind of raise my hand and put myself forward, you know, apply for that manager position? Or, you know, when December comes and I do my year in review with my boss, like, should I say, hey, I'm kind of interested in like taking the next step at the company? How do you advise people who, I guess, maybe, I don't want to say the word insecure, but maybe aren't feeling as confident when it comes to their success as a manager?
I love the way you put that. And John Phillip, I love the question of how do you know when you're ready to apply? And I think that's a question that a lot of people literally never ask themselves, because sometimes you're in the workplace and it is just a career path. And there's like one career path and you're like, I don't know whether I'm ready or not, but it's either up or out, and up meaning into a manager role, no other options. And so that can be the reality. And sometimes that's kind of where you're faced, but to this sense that you can take that pause in having that conversation. One of the best things that you can do is vocalize to your boss and even senior leaders when you get those opportunities is to say the things that you're interested in. Because you know, you may again think that they're a wizard, like, okay, well, shouldn't they be asking me these questions? But oftentimes they have no idea. I mean, I remember having a conversation once with the president of my company, a very large company. And I'd said, well, you know, I don't really see a career path because there's so many people in between me and the next step. And his response was like, I had no idea you were even interested in that. I'm so glad we're having this conversation. And it sounds basic, but so the biggest thing I think is vocalizing what you're interested in, but knowing to yourself, am I ready, or things like that. The biggest shift, and there's a lot of shifts people will say, oftentimes you're realizing it after the fact, but is, do you care truly about other people's success more than your own? And I don't say that in a selfish way, but there's plenty of roles. Sometimes there's sales. Like that's probably one of the departments I see the most issues of taking a great salesperson thinking, oh, they can be a manager and teach everybody else. And oftentimes then you're losing your best salesperson and they're not able to lead the rest of the team. But to really think about that for yourself, because that's often the role. Frequently as a manager or leader, what your job is to think about your team's gold stars. And over time, that's where your gold stars come from. But to be able to really focus on that, because for a lot of people, as you think about it, you're like, I can, but like, I like doing the work. I like doing things. I like being able to control what I can control. And so that's, if I really were to distill it into one question, is to think about, do I think I have the capability potentially to really focus on developing others in a gold star? The other way I phrase this sometimes that may make some people opt out of management is, if you want to know what being a manager is like, sometimes go to like your neighborhood Facebook group, your community Facebook group, or next door, and just look at the conversations and think, would I want to be responsible for these people at work? Because sometimes that's what being a manager can be like. And again, what I do is, no matter whether people move into management because they're interested or they just end up there, is giving people the tools to actually be able to do it and build those gold stars.
Well, and I think that's what I love so much about your courses is it really, it's not so much about the esoteric, like, you know, we have confidence as a manager. You're really giving people like actionable templates and tools that they can use and scripts and, you know, phrases to try. And I feel like that's something that a lot of times people, they kind of need that, like, very clear-cut instruction. And I'm curious, you know, when it comes to getting that feedback, getting that clear-cut instruction, I think one thing that a lot of people have been turning to is AI. You know, for better or for worse, I know LinkedIn Learning has a whole like chat bot now that you can like practice interview questions with and practice, you know, hard conversations with. And so I love this question from Jeff. When it comes to AI, you know, he's asking in terms of kind of multi-generational talent, but I guess I'm more asking holistically, you know, when it comes to that feedback, how are you seeing AI help individuals when it comes to management?
I'm happy to answer both. Like, I mean, I'll start holistically, and then Jeffrey, happy to talk specifically as an example of how you can use it. Because the key to me of AI, and I put this in our teaser for the event, but is AI shouldn't be using AI just to make you look better. It should be AI to actually help you to be better. And that, you know, as I did, I put that in a little graphic, and you can share it to LinkedIn. But that different framework can help, because oftentimes people are using it ways. I'll like rephrase this so I don't get fired, or rephrase, you know, all these things. But what I think is really to think about using it for the actual things that you're going to do as a leader, and to give you those ideas. Again, AI should not be, I am not someone that will like get an AI, you know, prompt every time I'm editing it and thinking through it. But oftentimes it's really thinking about how can I approach different situations. One of the benefits I see in AI are a few things. One is the gap I see with a lot of leaders, again, whether you are brand new, promoted up through senior executives, is there's this very human instinct to not ask questions, to not ask for help, not say, I don't know. And so even if you're in sessions with like a, you know, super pricey executive coach or all these things, or you're in a conversation, you're still often going to be holding back. And while AI is not a diary nor an encyclopedia, which I say either way, it's not private and confidential, and it's not know-all fact-based. That's fine. You don't need it to be an encyclopedia for those things. But it can strip away some of your fear. You can feel more comfortable asking something and it can always give you these ideas. I say AI, especially chat, my courses a lot are on ChatGPT. It's just,
yeah.
And organizations have different ones that are approved. It's always important to make sure you work within tools and not drop that confidential information. But if I'm asking something, like people tend to have their opinions. Like my boss, I may say, how do I think AI should, you know, I should, as a manager, how do I think I should address multi-generational talent? Well, my boss may have very strong opinions on this and say, well, Gen Z doesn't want to work, you know, and Gen X, you know, boomers, they're really just trying to coast till retirement. I mean, they may see those things and that's their perspective. And so, okay, well, all right, that's their perspective. Or I may ask, you know, I may ask my great aunt or cousin, because what do you think? Well, they also don't want me to get fired. So they're going to say, well, don't do the bare minimum, you know, do all these things. And so people have their perspectives as humans, and it's important to have human conversations. But sometimes AI can point out those things. But one of the things I really like is it'll point out things. So for example, what I talk about often is multi-generational talent is not making generalizations. There is no, you know, there's no Gen Z profile or boomer. There's often assumptions made about those. But if I were to put this question into ChatGPT, and I encourage you, like if you have a second screen open, keep paying attention here, but if you have a second screen open, is to put that in to say, as a manager, how can I address team if I have multi-generational talent on my team? In really getting prompts, because hopefully it should say something like, again, don't make those assumptions. Because if you go to your team and start making those, like you're going to be like frustrating everybody all around. But it can give you some of these ideas, because whether you have different generations, people of different backgrounds, you will have people with all sorts of differences. And so one thing AI can do that you can also use it is to create some profiles. Like, okay, well, I have, you know, one newer person on my team who just joined, and they have gotten like straight A's all of their life. They've never gotten any critical feedback. And so every time I try to have that conversation, they ask me if they're getting fired, or they go and cry. Okay, so how can I have that conversation? Or I have somebody on my team who's worked here for 30 years in the same job, and I have conversation and it's like, you know, nothing really seems to get through. I don't know if they're engaged. Okay, well, think about communicating to that person. And so without using names or specific information, you can use it to think of, okay, here's ideas to approach messages. And so that's one of the things I think AI can really do, is to help you think and help you have ideas of what to say, and then adapting them to your voice and situation.
Well, and I think it's also a lot of it is really just playing around with AI. You know, I think sometimes when people even hear you say like, okay, open up ChatGPT and ask this question, I think people are a little bit like, and so that's why one of the reasons why I'm so excited about your upcoming course that's coming out, because I feel like just getting more comfortable or getting more familiar with it is honestly like half the battle with a lot of the people that I'm talking to. I feel like there's either a camp where everybody's like, I'm obsessed, I'm using it every day, you know, what would I do without it? And then there's the camp that's like, I haven't touched it. You know, I don't even know how to open it. Oh, it's a phone app and it's on desktop, you know, and I feel like kind of trying to migrate people from this camp, not necessarily to become obsessed with it, but at least just get comfortable playing with it, I think is really beneficial.
It is. And so when I had my, and I'll give you a sneak peek at my upcoming course, because I had my course become an AI powered manager. We recorded that on, like, one of the ones was on Valentine's Day of last year. So about a year and a half ago. I knew that because I wore a heart sweater on my way into the studios. But that course, which is now part of a broader certificate program, it really, even the reason I had that course was because I was leading a large session for a few hundred engineers, like a super large firm. And we were talking about things, and it was ChatGPT had really, really just started to come out. It wasn't even a year old as far as like general public use. But we were talking about things like team meetings and ideas. And I said, well, hold on. I said, who uses ChatGPT? And it was like hardly any hands going up. I was like, well, who's heard of it? In the vast majority at that point in time had, but I said, who has? And very few people had actually used it at that point. But I said, for example, for team meetings, you can say like, if you see this challenge, like give me an idea for a team meeting exercise that's 15 minutes long. We can have like, if it's a call center, for example, that we can talk about the importance of like handling different personalities on these calls and make it an interactive exercise for the team meeting. And we started going through, and it was right at the end of it. And so in future speak engagements, I would talk about it more and say, who's used it? You know, what are ideas you can use it for? And I had people that were senior executives, even in the technical fields that really hadn't gotten into it. And again, there's all sorts of tools now, but I really leverage on that. But so AI powered manager is for whether you're brand new to using really ChatGPT or experienced, but it's all sorts of prompts focused on being better. Like, how do you do things like communicate? And I have, like, in addition to other courses, that is like the course that I've gotten messages that people go to my website, managermethod.com, and like fill out the contact form, messages of people like, wow, this is like, I really am using this. We have a prompt sheet at the end that's a few pages long that people are like, this is my personal development course for all these things of like, how do you role play this? How do you manage conflict? And so that's the kind of the foundational course we created. And it really was designed for people at any level to do. The next course that I'm working on that I'm going to record is really about how to bring that to life. For example, this one's going to be about OKRs. And for those that have heard about OKRs, like objectives and key results, things like that, the thing I really like about this is I don't have that much experience creating OKRs as a leader. Like I've done it, but not, I'm certainly not an expert. But in that course, we're going to walk through how you can use it with ChatGPT, like what they are. How do you talk to your team about them? How do you define them? How do you track them? With no code, like no technical expertise, but ways that you can be strategic as a leader. And so that's what we're working on now. And it's going to be a mix of going into ChatGPT and looking at things and talking about communication, what matters. And so blending on some of the feedback we got from AI powered manager, that it's not just a course of like that you're on the screen the whole time. There's different parts where I talk about why things matter as a manager.
Well, and I know you've probably gotten like loads of prompts that made it into the course, prompts that didn't make it into the course, prompts that you've heard about at, you know, some of these speaking engagements or workshops that people have shared with you. But I know it's hard to pick a favorite because nobody likes picking favorite anything. But if you had to pick maybe one or two or three even prompts that you feel like maybe, you know, you talked about people who are kind of coming into your website and writing into the comments being like, this is so helpful. Were there, you know, one or two or three prompts that really you think stood out to a lot of people or you hear kind of constant good feedback about them?
One, I really try to be real talk. I mean, I say I've had experience from supporting teams at KFC through being a legal and HR at McKinsey. And I have found there are managers at KFC that have such fundamentals of like business results and driving careers of their people. And so I really try to make it real talk and approachable and recognize that people are coming in like, I've watched manager things. I'm like, oh, that's a great video. I would never do that because it feels super awkward. And so one prompt, for example, is talk about is recognition. So recognition is so important. Telling people, you know, why they matter, specifically why they matter, doing that. But if I'm going to say that to people, people are like, right. And I joke about that. I say this in live sessions where sometimes I'll say, there may be people, if you were to send a note, as I'm telling you now, like I want to tell you what I appreciate about you and what a difference you made. Why, as meaningful as that is, there are so many managers that if they were to send that message to a team member, the team member would call 911 or your international equivalent, because they would think that your whole family has been held for hostage. And that's your code word, because it's just not the way that you speak. And so one prompt is to say, how can I recognize someone and tell them what they mean to me if I don't talk in corporate speak, or feels awkward for me to do so? In ChatGPT will not just give you examples of what to say, but also remind you how much that matters, but then start to give you things of what to say. And so a lot of it, I think, is putting things into your own voice. The other one that made it into AI powered manager, actually, this one came about from Jake McKiernan, who is my producer on it, that we work closely with. And this was about conflict management, where it was, if you have two people in a conflict, not a type of conflict I would have handled in my legal career, but just a conflict. And you're like, you know what? Why get everybody together and be like, let's put this into ChatGPT and see what it says. And I laughed because, again, you have to be very judicious with deciding to do that. But we were laughing and playing around with that and there were like really, really good points to that. And so I'm like, if you are a manager and you just have something that's gone on too long and you need to break the ice, like that was a bit of a funny one that can be helpful to play around with.
I love that. And Scott is saying you kind of using AI as that third party viewpoint. I hadn't thought of that, but yeah, I guess it is kind of like the referee in the room.
Yeah, it is. And again, it gets, you know, AI has all of its training and biases and things like that, but sometimes it can strip it away and have it to be a bit more neutral. So I really like it to be an objective third party more than you might find if you just were to ask people that have a bit more ingrained opinion.
I love that. And I love this point from Hiromi as well, which is knowing yourself. So she said, you know, I'm very emotional, you know, I'm very emotionally driven. So I like using AI to respond with regulation. That is a curious thing. Have you found a lot of times that you're giving managers advice, not only like they're so focused on other people, maybe their team or their group or their company, but really also taking time to do some inner reflection, like how are you reacting to situations and how are you kind of emotionally regulating yourself?
Yeah. One of those prompts that I've used is to think as a manager to say, you know, your responsibility is not just to defend your team, but to advocate for them and to be able to look at the, not just your department, but the overall organization. And that's something I talk about in my course I do through Manager Method. But one of the prompts, for example, to ask that is literally that, how do I be strategic as far as thinking about the overall organization and not just responding emotionally on the spot? And some of the things of like taking a pause, which can be the most helpful step of all, rather than the race to reply first and jump on top. But those prompts, really thinking about yourself and how can I bring that holistic thinking as a leader, can be some of those tips. And even some of those prompts, if you're thinking like, oh, I hadn't thought about that. Again, that's why we have this whole list of prompts at the end of the AI powered manager course, but also some of the things you can ask ChatGPT. Like we created again, the film, this course, February of 2024. In it, first we talked about create an account, because you just have to create an account in ChatGPT. Like, I want to say like a week later, they're like, no more account creation needed. And so I was like, of course, like, because one of the things we really focus on in the LinkedIn learning team, and Scott, who I've worked with, is awesome. And the team focuses on is think about the learner. Everything is about the learner. And so we want to make sure that it doesn't get outdated the second that we film it. And so one additional prompt that we didn't have in that, but I will be including in my next course, is one of the things I like to say to ChatGPT, because it'll say like new module, you know, new version XYZ, but I'll say, what are the updates that you've done in the last like 2 months that I should know about that I might not? And so that's some of the things. And you can even add, as a leader who's trying to, you know, build my strategic muscles, or maybe you're like, that's another one of those corny things I wouldn't say, but asking, like making something like an AI tool work for you, especially one with prompts like a ChatGPT, can be just saying that, like, what are things that you do that I should know about specific to the questions that I've asked? And that can help you to get a sense of how it can grow and not feel like you're trying to think of it on the spot.
I totally agree. And I feel like it goes without saying, and Sugatha, if I'm messing up your name, hopefully you'll correct me. But Ashley, I'm sure you have had some copy and paste offenders with these prompts that you give to people that they go and use, and then they do the ill-fated copy paste. So once people put in these prompts that you have, you know, so graciously shared with us, what is some of your advice as they start to read and process the information that ChatGPT is then spitting back out at them?
Some of it is even within the tool, like the first draft ChatGPT gives you. And I say ChatGPT is like your best and also your most annoying employee, in that every time ChatGPT does something, it will never just say that was great. Like, it always has an opinion. And so sometimes you have to know, this is good. This is good as is. And ChatGPT is always trying to make itself useful. It always also wants to do something else. Like, if you say, oh, can I have a talking point for this? It's like, sure. Would you also like me to make a PowerPoint presentation for you to talk about? And you're like, no, we don't need any more meetings. We're good. But some of the ways you can use the follow-up prompts are to say, for example, like, you get a message, is to read it. Like, dude, like, use it to make you efficient, but also take your time to read it and say, does this sound like me again? Like, even using that message of like, if I'm going to send this to my team, are they going to read this? I'm like, that doesn't sound like my manager at all. And just knowing, some of it's telling ChatGPT your voice. These are words that I tend to use. I don't tend to use the word clarity, for example. Like, ChatGPT loves to throw in a good clarity. Everything's clarity. And sometimes we'll use it, but maybe not that much. But to reread it, and that's where you can use ChatGPT to adjust it. But then taking it and again, putting it, adding time to add your own voice into it. Again, it gets you whatever percentage of the way there, but your team does not want to be managed by robots. That's a quote that we have in there. They really don't. I mean, people don't tend to like the, when they show up and it's an AI interviewer, people, you know, they want to have a conversation. And so using it is really important. And that's why another conversation, I think, in the workplace can be talking about how you use it. And so as a manager, if you're doing, whether it's performance reviews, and HR can have these conversations about what are people able to use? What are people not able to use it for? But emphasizing to your team to say, there's never a situation that I'm going to be just copy and pasting. Like, this is my human input. I'm putting it in. And it's important for team members to hear that as well.
Yeah. I'd love your point about really kind of being careful when it comes to using AI as, you know, an interviewer, or using AI sort of as like a robot manager. I feel like you're right. I think people can sniff that out like a mile away. And it's a huge, it's a turnoff. It's an ick. People don't like it. It's just like bad vibes all around. But I think this is an interesting point with, you know, kind of going on the application robot manager route is, you know, have you seen anybody who's trying to apply for a job or apply for a manager position and doing that and using AI to help them do that?
Yeah, I actually think there's a lot of great AI tools that can help you now on the job applicant side and on both sides help. And again, you have to be careful on both sides, especially to using it for screening or recommendations or things like that from the employer side. But when you're applying for a job, and there are, in most of the platforms that you look at now for job applications can look and have some of that to find some of the roles that you may not find. But a lot of it is thinking, not just help me draft a cover letter for this, but to think about, for example, as you're applying for a job, whether it's putting a job description chat between being like, what aspects of my background from what you know about me would make me like, enjoy this job? What parts may be hard? What things should I emphasize? What should I think about in advance? And sometimes it's hard, especially with the job market. If you're like, I'm in the position where I'm looking for a job and I don't currently have a job, you have the mindset, you're like, I'm just focused on getting that job. But to the extent you can really think about what the realistic situation of the role is, and using AI for that and using it almost as a career coach, it can be helpful. Again, things like applying for a job, you've definitely seen now where people are like, I put their resume through, and it's generated this resume to look at it and take that human lens. Like, just if ChatGPT gives you section lines all through the place and you're like, okay, I don't need quite this many, like, take them out. And so use it to be efficient or to think about it, put the job description in, And think about your role and how can I do this? How can I say this in a more human way? These are things that I've done that really stand out. So using it to phrase some of those aspects, but even applying, thinking about the interview process, like as you're going through and doing the applications and all of that, I mean, think, how can I stand out in the interview process without, you know, whatever the things you've seen of like sending a cake with my resume on it to the recruiter, like what are ways I can actually stand out? Because a lot of roles now will have over 1,000 applications. And so it's important to try to stand out, but even thinking about interviewing, how can I practice this? Help me to role play interviews, questions I have to think about what my answers are. But on both sides, you know, candidates really want the interviewers and their managers to be human. Organizations want that as well. And what I've heard recently is, well, we have these people that they seem great. Their resume reads great. Then they show up to an interview and they're like have a second screen and they're reading answers off. They're like reading answers off it. And so again, just knowing, use it to get yourself ready, but it's still a really human experience. And so just focusing on all ends of using it to help you, but really that human experience matters.
I totally agree on the human experience. And I also think that I don't want to like call out the introverts in the room, but I think for some people, some of my friends that are more introverted, they have loved ChatGPT or, you know, Gemini or any of these other Perplexity, any of these other platforms, because it has alleviated them from the need of asking for help, asking for advice, calling that mentor, scheduling that Zoom call. It's like, ooh, instead of having to go be uncomfortable and like talk to other humans, I will like scurry away with my little Perplexity in the corner and ask it all the questions that I want to ask. And so I love that point. And John kind of makes it too, is, you know, as much as you can ask AI these questions to help you prepare, apply for interviews, et cetera. I would just like to second exactly what we're kind of talking about here, which is like, don't lose the human element. Like still maybe call your mentor, still maybe ask your old boss about that new opening that you think you might want to apply for. So like, you know, don't, I guess, lose the human element when it comes to your excitement over AI.
I totally agree. I think it's, you know, knowing at the end of the day, the conversations, AI can help you come up with topics for a one-on-one meeting. But that should still be a meeting and talking with someone and help it. You know, if you see very human issues, like this meeting could have been an email, then make the meeting more compelling or do things like that. And so just really focusing on that human element. I mean, the last thing I saw one of the comments as well was asking, do you ever tell ChatGPT to ask as a career coach? I do. Yes, Jeff. So I totally do. And I tell people this all the time. I have people that reach out about those things. Like, I don't know what I want to do when I grow up. And they may be decades into their career and they say that. I was like, join the club. Like my career has been, you know, all these things. And people say, how did you start your business? How do you do these things? And I say, go to ChatGPT again. That's a hard area to get. Nobody's going to replicate what anybody else has done. And I tend to have had that same conversation. So I'm like, I created a YouTube video where I talk about how I, like, you know, how I started my business and use Ikigai, like this Japanese.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I say, one of the things that can be helpful for you is to say, this is how I'm feeling, like whether it's a career coach, I want a career coach. This is where I am trying to decide if I like my current job, trying to do what's within it, thinking about starting my own business. What does that look like? And it will. That's one of the areas where ChatGPT, your annoying coworker, but wonderful, will ask you these questions and drill it down and help you realize things that you're not going to necessarily see by journaling in somebody else, whether it's an actual career coach or your friend or your coworker, they may not think of as well. And so I do think it can be that objective person to help you uncover and find your own voice and your own direction.
Totally. And I definitely think it's one of those things. I'm sure the later versions will have this, but at least for right now, I know when I play with ChatGPT, it forgets. So it'll say something like, I'm making this up. Oh, your goal is to do XYZ. Well, you should check in 3 days a week. Well, your ChatGPT is not like texting you Monday, Wednesday, Friday to make sure you stuck to your 10 pushups a day. Plan. So, you know, to Jeff's point, I think it, you know, it can be a great thought starter as like whatever that is. How do I fit in fitness more to my life? How do I become a manager? How to like coach me on this? But again, going back to that human element, like your friend is the one who's going to be like, TikTok, we signed up for this yoga class. Like, right. Where the hell are you? You know, I'm sitting here like an idiot with my mat and you're not here. So, you know, kind of balancing those things are, I think, really important. It's not as if you can say like, oh, well, I listened to this live with Ashley, you know, I don't need her. I'll just ask ChatGPT, like, all about manager method. Like, no, you have to like watch the courses. You have to like talk, you know, it's a little bit more than that.
Yes.
Totally. I want to ask this question, although I have absolutely no idea what it means, but I will ask it anyways, because I want everybody to feel like they can ask the questions and it's not just me asking all my selfish questions. And that question is from Ola. And they're asking, what do you think about creating a co-pilot agent? By the way, I don't even know what that is, to manage projects.
So I'd say my number one caveat always is follow your organization with policies. Again, so because especially if you're going to talk about information, thinking about it, again, a lot of what I talk about is tips for leaders, not using information. But so a lot of these, you can have agents, ChatGPT, you can have an agent, Copilot, you can have an agent. What that is creating your own little space, and it can depend on what it looks like, but it can remember and it creates that. And they're evolving constantly. So with ChatGPT, for example, you can create one and ask questions and it uses the information you've given. Copilot, you can do that as well. One of the things you can do is ask some of these tools, like, how can I use you to manage projects? And ask that. In some things that can happen within organizations, I've said, organizations aren't talking about actual really good AI use like they could. There's so many kinds of conversations to use that more, I think. But to the extent that you see something that's helpful, talking to whether that's IT, HR, internal communications to say, you know, this is how I've used it. Let's have sessions. I mean, one of the most helpful lunch and learns or webinars I've talked about is having people in the organization that are not a C-level title, but talk about something that they've done with AI. So.
No, I feel like that's a good, and it, again, a good rule to always come back to is what is the policy? You know, don't go talking about ChatGPT, all the stuff that you had happen at work that day. And, you know, maybe you're not supposed to feed that into ChatGPT. So I think that's a good reminder to kind of remember what the policy is at the place that you work. I'm curious, Ashley, like as you kind of explore all of these different platforms and interactive elements, like how do you yourself learn? I mean, you spend so much time teaching other people. I'd be curious how you, like, is it podcasts? Is it newsletters? Like, how are you absorbing new information?
I like love to learn. I love having these conversations and those listening, because I tell you, my kids are 11 and 14. They are delighted for me to have conversations with people other than them constantly about how much, because I see it. I mean, I see it always. I just was reading a novel the other day. I had a video on this of like, it was a lesson that had said in the novel, it said, kids don't need people that will protect them from anything bad going wrong. They need people that will help them when things go wrong. And I was like, oh, it's just like a manager. You know, that's, you know, like again, so, but I do, I'll have fun aside. One of the things I do, and this is no affiliation, but I love Harvard Business Review magazine. This came yesterday in the mail, so I'll be sitting and reading this later. Their digital edition as well. Like it used to be $100. Now I think it's like 120, 130, but you get access to digital articles and it's so much more practical than you would think by saying Harvard Business Review. And so that's one that I've used constantly. I like from, while I have a podcast, HR Besties, I have to plug that. I like to listen to other ones like Punk Rock HR by Lori Rudiman. Love that newsletters. Tracy Sponnenberg has become a really good friend. She's in the HR space, but she does a lot of like HR with manufacturing, but she brings these tools. And so Tracy has one. It's like Coffee Connect. But if you go to TracySponnenberg.com, she has a really, really good one. And I use a lot of people I hear all the time. Like I started on TikTok, Instagram, LinkedIn, like doing videos based on things I'd learned through my career. And so some of the other accounts, like my podcast co-hosts, HR Manifesto is kind of career advice, and Humorous Resources, who's funny, Jamie, who's does a lot of humor. But one is HR's Agent of Chaos, a guy named Frank Rhodes. He's Francis Rhodes on LinkedIn. But he brings a lot of HR specialty but he also had been laid off and has been talking about the job search. And so he has really, I really love his content on all fronts. So he, his nickname is Tank on social media, but HR's Agent of Chaos is one that I learn from constantly.
Oh my gosh. Okay. We're going to have to pass that on to Jeff. I know he had a lot of questions about interviewing and applying and whatnot. So we'll have to pass. I haven't heard of that one. So that sounds like a good one. Do you find that what platform do you yourself spend the most time on? Like, is it LinkedIn? Is it TikTok? Is it Instagram?
Probably LinkedIn. And I'm not saying this just because we're on LinkedIn, but it's probably from like the professional. I learn from people. I've met people who I've never met in real life who have become very personal, like really good friends. And so like, if I want a laugh, I go to TikTok or see people's creativity. Instagram is probably a little bit in between, but on LinkedIn, I still learn a lot, especially with a lot of like the video. Like I like video a lot. And so I like the mix of kind of reading and watching.
Oh no, I love it too. And I also feel like I end up spending a lot of time on LinkedIn because it's one of those places where it's like a little bit of work, a little bit of fun, a little bit of connecting. I'm like, okay, this is a good, whereas like TikTok for me, it's like a lot of fun or it's like recipes.
Yes.
It's like how to make chicken shawarma. And I'm like, wow, I think I can do that tonight.
Yes. Or I'll get sucked into a 38 part series of someone getting ghosted on a first date 20 years ago. And all of a sudden I'm like, that's a lot of information. I was really, really invested.
How did I get here?
Yeah. Unsure, but I like posting on all, because as I do presentations, I do a lot of very scientific studies every day, meaning, but when I post videos and seeing the comments that people write, I've learned more from people's comments on social media and those experiences than, you know, just as much probably, you know, having done it for the last 3 years than I have for, you know, 2.5 decades of working.
Well, and I know you can't reveal too much about your book in February, but maybe we can convince you to come back. But do you have a lot of those sort of personal stories or stories that you've seen on the internet or on other spaces that are kind of examples of the manager method in real life, IRL, as the kids say?
Yes, I do IRL. You can touch with the hands. I'm going to be recording the audiobook here in a couple of weeks. So I'll be doing that and drinking a lot of water. And I do. So I it all is about this 3-part framework, this pause, consider, act framework. I go into it, but then how to apply it. And I include personal examples. Like for example, the time of one thing that a future boss said at an interview that made me more excited to potentially take a job than any other thing in my career. And when I took that, absolutely changed my work and my life. And it was simple. And a lot of it was about communication and expectations in a very surprising environment, and how that informed a lot of what I do now. So that is a sneak peek, and it includes a little bit of AI, things like that, prompts to use there, but also a lot of real scenarios about how to think about it, how to think about taking time off yourself as a manager, performance, delegation. So those topics. And so it's really going to be for new through experience through aspiring managers.
Ah, I love it. I can't wait. It's going to be, I'm still a fan of physical books. I got really excited when you held up that magazine because I still get Entrepreneur Magazine. I still get Arc Digest. Like I still get the physical magazines. I have a pile of books that I'm looking at right here. Like, I don't know. I have my Kindle. I use it when I travel, but I'm a physical girl. Physical girly.
I am totally the same way. And so I love it. I love getting information that way, folding a page, going back to it. So you can see kind of actually here under my finger here is a stack of some more magazines and books and a picture of my grandmother. So
I love it. Okay. So around these parts, we're nerds. We love us some homework. And so if you could think of a homework assignment that we should try, could be the rest of this week or next week or over the weekend, it could be to read something or download something or try something. What is something that you think that we should do as a homework assignment that will help us become better managers?
Okay, three things. I'm going to give you three homework assignments. They're all related and that it's to different people. And so earlier, to call back to something we talked about earlier about recognition, telling people what they do that really matters and makes an impact and having that conversation, because it can feel like water in the desert. And so you can do this right away. You can do this afterwards, but three things that I very much challenge and encourage you to do. The first is somebody that you work with. Either you work with now or you've worked with them in the past, but reach out to them and do the thing I told you to tell them what they do or what they did and how it made an impact on your work and your life and how you think about it. And you can say, if it feels awkward, you can say, I was listening to this Lunch and Learn. They told us to think about somebody and what they do that made an impact. And you were the person I thought of, because that can undo some of the awkwardness if you feel it, but literally telling somebody that. And I love to hear the responses to that. The second is to do that to somebody else that you come across in life that you don't work with, but you see them doing a good job and caring about their job and telling them that. I literally did this last week. I was speaking at the Omni in Atlanta, and Michaela, who was there, who I was third in line waiting for her to figure out, you know, the conference room. I mean, she was like definitely doing these things. And I said, you are so good at your job. Like, you're just in 37 seconds, you're telling people what to do. And I'm like, you're so friendly, a smile on your face. And because also she added, she was like, she's like, what are you going to do? And I was like, I'm going to speak. She's like, you look great. You are going to rock. And I said, you're so good at your job. Like, you made me feel good. You know what to do. And I found out it was her second week on the job. And so she ended up coming to find me after the presentation. She's like, I was looking for everybody. She's like, I forgot what your name was. And so she's like, I was asking people where like Lauren was. And she's like, it was me. But gave me a huge hug. And it meant so much. She's like, this is my second week on the job. And I was like, I was amazed. You literally were a wizard. But so just telling someone, whether it's at the grocery store or just telling someone that you see, because they may not hear that, and that can make their day, their life. The third person is to do that to yourself. And again, as it feels awkward, is to think, what is something that you've done? They're like, this is something I'm uniquely good. And the thing is, if you have a hard time thinking about this, asking somebody else in your life, like, what is something that you think I'm good at? And it's inviting that, because that can have a conversation. You tell them that, it's a ripple effect. But if you can't do that, go to ChatGPT and say, especially if you've used it a good bit, and say, what's something that I may not see in myself that you think I should be proud of? And what it comes back with, based on all of your search histories and all the thoughts in your head that have gone on the screen, is probably going to make your day. So those three challenges, somebody to work with, somebody at the grocery store, here we go. Shelby.
Oh, I love that. Those are such good. And I love the last one, for yourself. I feel like for a lot of us, we pour from empty cups. We try to go off empty tanks. So I think that last one is the most important one. So this has been so wonderful. Ashley, thank you so, so much for joining us.
Thank you, Kim. Thank you for doing this overall. Thank you for letting me be part of one. And I love tuning in. So thank you so much. And thank you for everyone joining. I agree. I know Hiromi had said that TikTok comment sections can be the best. This comment section was awesome. And so thank you all so much.
No, I totally agree. I feel like we had such good questions. I'm sorry I couldn't get to all of them. I tried. I always try to get to all the questions, but it doesn't always work. So big thank you to Ashley. Big thank you to you for joining, Ashley and I. I know that you're busy and you have a lot of stuff going on. So the fact that you took some time to join us here today means a lot. Thank you so, so much. If you enjoyed today's session, if you think it would help somebody else, number one, sharing is caring. So you can go to any podcast network and share this out with your coworker or your friend or your family member who you think might need a little bit of manager method in their life. And if you just love joining these sessions overall, we meet here every single Wednesday at 1 p.m. Eastern. You can always head over to Get Coffee with Kim, where we have like a schedule and we'll send you a calendar invite for all you fellow type A organized nerds like me. So would love to love to love to see you at super, super fun sessions in the future. So Ashley, thank you so much. And thank you everybody for being here.
Whew, that was some good stuff. Thanks for being a part of this week's Coffee with Kim. If podcasts are your thing, subscribe to the show and you'll see a new episode appear next week in your favorite listening app. If you want to be a part of the conversation, join us live on Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern over on LinkedIn. You can RSVP at getcoffeewithkim.com. I want you to have your questions answered, because why should I get to have all the fun? And let's be honest, you know how to ask some hard-hitting questions. My guests and I cannot wait to meet you. See you soon.